Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Warrior Will.
Hope you're preparing for a great holiday evening, and overall just great happiness. And for me, I just want to say, all I want for Christmas is Christmas Starcha and Maid Camilla.
I should have seen that coming, but I didn't, and I'm sorry. Yeah, and Telly is Tyler.
Yes, happy holidays to all. This is our, really, like, Christmas is right in the middle of our recording segment, so I guess we'll say it early, because I think it's the 21st today, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Merry Christmas to all.
And to all a good night. Later, everybody! Now we're done. It's like, that's it. Show's over. No. But yes, we will be doing our Christmas and holiday celebrations at the end of the podcast, but we still got a lot to do right before then, so it's time for What Have You Been Playing? And Tyler, why don't you kick this one off?
So I've been playing a lot of stuff recently. Of course, Fire Emblem Heroes being one of the big ones. I saved up like 80 orbs for the Christmas banner, and I didn't get anything out of those first 80. Finally, I've gotten Lyssa, which makes me very happy because she's the one I wanted the most, with her handbell plus and her adorable Christmas outfit, and her quotes are hilarious. I love this Lyssa so much. It's just the best artwork. But I've also been playing Breath of the Wild. I went back with the Champion's Ballad coming out. That inspired me to restart my adventure. So I picked up from where I left off after I restarted the last time. So I'm still really early on in the game. I think I've only done like 16 shrines or something like that. But it definitely, when I first started playing again for the first like 15, 20 minutes, I was like, I don't know. I kind of am bored because I've seen this stuff before. but then I found some new stuff that I hadn't seen before, and I was totally back into it. So I was spending hours running around at that, what's that? I can't remember the village's name, but it's on the ocean in the south.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was trying to, I dug up the treasure in the middle of the, I took the guy's raft and went out and pulled up some treasure from the ocean. And then he told me about some ruins to the east. So I went over there, and there was a guy sitting there like staring at this broken sign, and there were two shrines that were like under the ground. I have no idea how to get shrines to come up, so I was banging my head against the wall trying to get him to give me some sort of new information, but he wouldn't. And I found like a half of the destroyed rock somewhere else, so I tried to use like the octo balloon to blow it up and try to lift it and like get it to fly over there. That turned out to not work, so it's very unfortunate.
That's why God made the internet.
Well, I know, but that's cheating.
It's not cheating if you get stuck.
Link doesn't have the internet. So
I
don't have the internet. I am putting myself in Link's shoes here. I want to figure this out the good old-fashioned way. Although there seems to be absolutely no hint, so maybe the internet is the way to go. And outside of that, I've been playing Fire Emblem Awakening, too. And I'm playing it like hardcore, to where I'm only playing it on hard, but I'm doing permadeath and I'm not resetting when I lose a character. So like, no matter how beloved they are, no matter how much I've put into them, if they die, they die. So I'm on chapter nine, I'm on Emerin right now. And Vake is the only one who's died. He died in the very beginning, so it wasn't really that sad, and it's Vake. So, like, not the end of the world. I do like Vake, but, you know, not that big of a deal. So
I would say I have an axe to grind with him, but I think I left it behind.
That was a great double reference.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so my Lyssa, I think she's like level 19 or something. And if she dies, that will be tragic. I'll be real sad. And Sumia is the same way. My Sumia is a beast. She's just an absolute terror on the battlefield. But when they're that strong and you rely on them so much, they're in danger more often. So it's definitely it changes things. I'm so used to just resetting when somebody dies.
Same here.
That not doing it is definitely much more intense.
The only time I think I've ever like intentionally let a character die, to my knowledge, I'm sure I might have done it before, but it was a Path of Radiance, chapter 13, on the ship battle,
With
I let Gaytree die, and I'm like, it's Gaytree, what do I care? But then I saw at the end, like, when the credits were like, Lost Unit was, and there was Gaytree, I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have let him die. I never use him. Like, I never use him in Path of Radiance after you lose him, and him and Shannon leave, but I regretted it, and so after that, I swore I would never let that happen. So I've restarted whole levels, you know, hour and a half in, you know, I reset the whole ones, because I refuse to let a single character die.
Yeah, it's painful when you have to do that restart, but I always am right there with you. It's worth it. I'm surprised that Gaytree died instead of Astrid, too, because Astrid comes in. She's level one on that level, and she has no speed, and there's a Javelin user who will one round her if Ike doesn't get her away.
I got her to, like, a safe place because I wasn't even going to risk it, you know? Yeah. And then, like, Gaytree just kept taking hits, and because he's a tank, which is fine, but, you know, eventually you get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And he just straight up died. And I'm like, no, but wait a minute, it's Gaytree. I don't care. I don't care now. Why? Why is Gaytree? One blemish on my record. But yeah, it seems like you're playing a lot of games, Tyler. That's nice.
I have. I've been also looking for a job. So in the downtime, I've noticed an increase in games as my stress level has gone up. Like, I need to
Ain't that the life I remember?
Yeah. Those are the days. How about you, Will?
Ah, man. For me, I've been more or less on the grind of Xenoblade Chronicles 2, just grinding up the common core crystals, and actually just got my mercenary group to a level 3. And, like, overall, the last blades I believe I got is, of course, the snowball spirit, Dahlia with the snow bunny, and then there's one more, which is one of my favorite ones is that she's voiced up by one of my favorite voice actresses. I think Purin something is the Blue Lance. I forgot her name. It's just driving me nuts.
Yeah, I don't have her.
I summoned her voice of Ami Kochi Mizu, and overall, like, just more or less grinding up for those cores. My cousin has been teaching me, like, yeah, like, especially with that one status effect, like when you first topple, then launch, then slam them. Especially that this one certain enemy in the third Titan in War Ordain, like the one black crab, you slam it, actually does, like, even possibly drop one or even two core crystals.
Wow.
Which, yeah, like, it's, if you want to go to that one spawning point, you will get, like, many common cores and maybe even possibly rare core crystals. So, very good if you want to just simply want to get, like, all these spirits. And, heck, of course, naturally want to go for the Holy Grail, but all Cosmos. So.
Who I can confirm, if you recall on our last podcast, I told you about that giant sphere.
Yes.
Like, I thought that was Cosmos. It's not.
It's not,
and it
broke
my heart, because I'm like, come on, where's Cosmos? And then I see the sphere, and I'm like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm, I got Cosmos! Mm-hmm. And then it's this big, giant thing called Burnaeus.
Yes. It's what was that Disney movie again? I forgot. A Big Hero 6 or something like
that. Oh, yeah, Baymax. That was it. He's a Baymax knockoff.
I was like, oh, just bring back some local snacks, you hear? And it's just like, yeah, a big mouth, literally a Kirby.
Yeah, I used him just because he gave me a health boost, but it broke my heart because I thought that was Cosmos in her shell, and it's like, nope, you get Borneas. I'm like, crap. And then I got this girl with, like, mass, like, extended arms. Like Newt, I think her name was.
Oh yes, she's pretty reminds me of Cabela from Skullgirls. Yes.
There you go. Yeah, yes. But so that was interesting, and I'm like, you know, I've got 99 blades, but Cosmos ain't one.
I know. Yeah. That is the grind. That is the grind, yes. And other games that I've been playing is I got with Fire Emblem Heroes. I'm surprised I actually got a Christmas Robin on my first two summon sessions, which, happy days. But actually, I just want my waifu. I just want Darja for Christmas.
Yeah. Gee, I wonder why.
Yes, Sue me.
But, I will.
Yeah. And also briefly, I've been touching as well as Overwatch, because currently right now it is the Christmas event. I actually got two skins, which is Winston and Bastion's snow outfit. So overall, just being on the Overwatch and as well a little bit on the Pocket Camp side, which again grinding to get those little Christmas add-ons, the snow globes. I mean, I don't know. Going back to Pocket Camp, it's kind of like, again, it's a very small thing. It's not like gonna eat up my entire time, but it's always a nice little detail to go back into the camp, especially with the recent updates, including the new animals that's coming in the later coming weeks. So in case you want to go to Pocket Camp, you may want to stop on by again. So overall, that's what I've been playing.
But for me, I had such a shift from last from last podcast because I was grinding on, you know, Xenoblade, just trying to get through the story, and then I finally beat it. I officially it took me about 70 hours, and that's with very little grinding or nonchalant, you know, side questing. Though I do admit I did a nice bit of that, but still, even without that, it was at least 50 hours. So, the story had a great ending. I love that this game is now one of my new favorite RPGs of all time. It's right, I think it's right below Thousand Year Door, but tied with Star Ocean Till the End of Time.
Wow.
And that's high praise, because Star Ocean is what got me into the desire to make video games. And then Thousand Year Door is just epic, obviously. So if I'm saying that this is, you know, one of my top RPGs, that's significant. Which is amazing, because when I started playing the game, I was like, okay, this is a 4 out of 5 title. Nothing wrong with that. But as I started playing, we got deeper in the story, and these characters just kept evolving, and dear gosh, heaven. And like it warmed me up to a 4.5. Now, it is not a perfect game. The combat system, I was looking up things about the combat system for the final boss. I was like, because I was looking at a guide, because I am not afraid to use it. I feel like there should be a trick here to beating this final boss, and sure enough, there was. And I was technically using it the whole time, but I just didn't realize it because I didn't understand the tank combat system. But thankfully I got it, and then once I understood what was actually going on, I was like, oh, that's what I was supposed to do. Okay, I gotcha. I dig it. But the game is still incredibly fun. Like I said, I gave it a 4.5 out of 5. I'll have my review. The review's already up, but I'll have it on the podcast page if you haven't seen it yet. I totally go into spoilers, including kind of sort of ruining the ending with a picture. So if you don't want to see the ending, don't read my review.
Yeah, I've seen your Twitter account, like, when you're posting up the pictures, like, geez, what the
I was
does?
I was
like,
afraid you would, but I quickly
looked away. I was like, gosh.
I know. That's what I was worried about.
Yeah. There was one picture where there was something that was a green background, and I could tell that was the end of the game, but like, I didn't know what that meant, so I was good. I just stopped. I quickly took my eyes off it. I just saw the way it looked, and I was like, that's an ending picture.
And yeah, like, that thing reminds me of that one shot from, I believe, The Last Guardian, to be frank. Yeah, reminds me of that one scene from The Last Guardian.
Yeah, but I won't spoil the game here. Everyone dies. No, actually, I take that back. No, everyone doesn't die. They're in the Matrix the whole time, which we called on the last podcast, and I can't believe it. No. And then Neo showed up, and then Bill and Ted. No. The game, there is a couple big twists at the end, including one that I honestly didn't see coming, which is really nice. I can't go into it anymore because that just gets spoiled. I was very satisfied with the ending because, as me and Will have noted on the podcast previously, Xenoblade Chronicles X had a very unsatisfying ending, twofold. You know, just when you thought, okay, that's okay way to end it, then they throw in a cliffhanger, and I'm like, no! No!
Yes.
And unlike 2, there was no DLC for X, so we got no resolution there. So, gosh, you will have resolution here, that I promise. But, dear gosh, the game. This is not a spoiler because you kind of know it's coming. When you get to the world tree, things just start escalating in a way you don't see coming. You know? And it's great. This game is great. And even though I didn't get Cosmos by the end, which was, you know, okay, Korra totally saved my life. I'm not gonna lie there. When I replay this game, and I know I'm going to replay this game, I will refuse to go to the world tree before I get Korra. Because half of my strategy and half of my survival revolved around Korra.
I agree. Yes.
So she was her healing powers were amazing. I will be going back to it just because I want to, you know, grinding. Yeah, I'm gonna pull a Will and just grind my nights away and, you know, try and get more blades in Cosmos and everything. And I got a date with the level 90 dinosaur.
Yes. And there are, like, much more powerful enemies. Like, I believe one a level 140 enemy as well. So, like, there are enemies.
How did you beat
100.
A level 140 enemy?
No. I just saw some videos. Like, there is a level 140 enemies out there. Post game, I believe.
Okay, so, I don't think you're at that. You're that good, Will. Even with your blades. But
like, once you harness the full burst effects, especially with the chain attacks, those things have become much more interesting.
Yeah. But I look forward to the DLC, including the story DLC, because now there's only one of two ways that they could go with this, based on the ending that I saw. So I look forward to how they extend the story. I look forward to it. I'm really glad I got this game. I have heard from a source that Tyler is getting this game for Christmas.
Yes, yeah. Yes, I am 99.99999% sure that I'm getting it for Christmas. So,
which means he's not. No. But I think you'll enjoy it, Tyler. Just do what I did. Just give it a chance to warm up. It does take a little while, but once it goes. It's
okay.
Great.
Yeah, that's good to know. I usually, a lot of great RPGs, I feel, start off slow. So I usually am good enough or experienced enough to withhold judgment until the 5 or 6 hours in. So.
Make it 10.
There is some hand-holding in the beginning, but don't worry. As I said, it will slowly play on your own as well. So,
I say it's good hand-holding versus Mario Odyssey hand-holding. Where it's
really?
Yeah. I hated the Mario Odyssey tutorial because it wouldn't go away, and B, it kept trying to tell me to use motion controls.
That's so annoying. I really didn't want to use motion controls. I kept trying to not use them.
At least with Xenoblade, they literally paused the game and go, okay, here's how you do this, here's how you do this. I'm going to help you so you can get the idea and see what it's like. I didn't mind that because especially for that difficult of a combat system, I needed that. So.
I look forward to seeing what
you think, Tyler, once you get it on Monday, and let us know what your first impressions are next podcast. So
yes, it will.
Yeah,
who's the best new waifu as a pick as well?
The answer is Mithra.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Aside from the main heroines, thank you.
Oh well, in that case, the answer is Mithra. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your rules? I don't care. So aside from Xenoblade, see, that's the other thing, is that I beat Xenoblade on Sunday, which was a perfect day to do a review, by the way. And then Monday, I'm like, I don't have Xenoblade to play. Because I wanted to take a break. Because, I've been doing like 3 to 6 hours a day, since it launched, since I got it on the 2nd. So I'm just like, I don't have to play it anymore. What do I do? And so I've been doing other things. Like, I've been playing Fire Emblem Heroes. I tried to get a frame, but failed. And so now I'm saving orbs and all that. I'm looking forward to what's coming. Tharja? Really?
Here's the thing with Tharja on this one. This is where I'm different. I actually promote Tharja on this one. The reason why is because if you recall my I won't be having people call me a hypocrite because my Elysian Summer complaints was that it was totally out of character. This Tharja is the coolest because it literally is like a middle of awakening Tharja. It's her in her support with Robin, where Robin tells her that she's weird and needs to be more normal.
Yes.
And then she tries to become a normal girl, and she starts talking like, and she's just like it's like when SpongeBob becomes normal, and he's just so unsettling. So I actually really like this. It's a great reference to their support.
I actually, now that you mention it, I don't mind this as much now. I mean, to be clear, I still don't like it. But I at least respect that what they did, because it's lore-based. Because I was wondering, like, why are they calling Tharja a normal girl? And now I know, because I forgot that was the Robin Tharja support, which, I haven't played Awakening in so long. Thank you for letting me know that, Tyler. So, yeah, I will not promote it, but I will at least understand it, so that there's that. But I look forward to seeing what Fire Emblem does in the new year, because there's still obviously so many characters that need to come, including, and I think I talked with someone on Twitter about this, like, we need the Lagus. I need the Lagus in my life. If you want to start with the Kings, I'm okay with that. If you want to start with the lower tiers,
we need Ranulf,
Laith, Mordecai, Morim, but then we gotta have the Lagus Kings. That's gotta be a banner all their own, and We gotta get the Lagers, okay?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. So, now that that's over with, we have an interesting amount of news to talk about. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. We'll start off with some of the minor news first. Splatoon 2 has a new weapon called the Squeezer. Doesn't sound dirty at all. But it's just apparently it looks like a bottle of champagne.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's a holiday weapon. You know, it's a perfectly timed holiday weapon, and it looks like a candy cane or something like that mixed with a champagne bottle. So yeah, I don't know, but it looks interesting, and it's just another weapon to, you know, change the game of Splatoon 2. So always
hey,
grateful for that.
What better way to go and break out the new year with a bottle of bubbly?
Right.
Well said. Well said. And Tyler, since we're on the topic of Splatoon 2, would you like to tell the world
something? Yeah, I was going to say, since we're on the topic of Splatoon 2, once again, first of all, you know, let's draw this one out a little bit and go back in time.
Join me back in
July when Splatoon 2's first Splatfest was announced. It was cake versus ice cream. What did you guys pick? We were all on team.
We were all ice cream.
Ice cream was better than cake. Right. So that was, and which team won that one?
Ice cream.
Right. It was totally team ice cream. The next one was ketchup versus mayonnaise.
Yes.
Which side were you guys on?
I was on mayonnaise.
I was on ketchup.
Oh, I'm sorry, Will, but me and Todd were the winners there. The next one was flight versus invisibility.
Flight.
And Will, invisibility. That's unfortunate. The one after that. Vampires versus werewolves.
Werewolves.
You guys lost. I won again. That was four wins in a row. Number five was sci-fi versus fantasy.
I chose sci-fi.
And I chose fantasy. So that was five wins in a row.
Seeing a pattern here.
And then the newest one, which was sweaters versus socks.
Sweaters versus Christmas socks.
Christmas sweaters versus Christmas socks. Which one won, Todd? Stop ducking the question.
There was no question to be asked until you just asked it.
It was Christmas sweaters that won.
It was Christmas.
Christmas
sweaters,
sweaters won. I end 2017 undefeated in Splatfests. Pearl ends up 4-2, which is quite good. I'm very happy with this. So yeah, we dominated the Splatfest. Unfortunately, you know, the people on Twitter.
Yeah.
No.
I'll take care of this one, Tyler. Because you see, we did three poll questions last week, and one of them was on the official NEP Twitter feed, which was, are ugly Christmas sweaters awesome? And the answer was nope.
It was 46% yes, 54% no.
Won by 8%, which is all we only need to win by 1%. And we did. We won by 7 more than 1%.
And people forget the way that question was framed was definitely anti-sweater. Like, it was saying ugly. Like, and yet still 46% said ugly sweaters are great. I will take that. I will take that result gladly.
And to be clear here, you were the one who wrote the question. So if you put ugly in it, that's on you. So don't blame us for your fallacies.
That was the Splatfest question, though, right?
So you may have won in the Splatfest, but we won in the polls, and the people have spoken. So you're welcome. But I look forward to the next Splatfest in January. I have no idea what it's going to be. I mean, look at what they've done this year. I mean, some of it has been holiday themed, obviously, like vampires and werewolves and ugly Christmas sweaters versus ugly Christmas socks. But now it's the new year, you know, what do you think, like around the 15th or whatever, so I have no idea what they'll pick. They'll probably do something, you know, random, which is fine.
I mean, have you not seen the UK or the Japanese Splatfest? Those are just hilarious, especially the whole toilet paper forward or toilet paper back.
That was amazing. I'm gonna love that one to the end of time.
So it's gonna be interesting, like what other topics they can imagine, like for the coming years. I mean, granted, it's definitely gonna be seasonal, no doubt about that. Like probably like with the whole usual hot dogs or pizzas or that sort. I don't know.
Pizza.
And eventually, I think like. This has got to be obvious. Like, eventually, once we head down to the last Splatfest ever, like they did with the first Splatoon game, it's either going to be Pearl or Marina. I mean, that's got to be it.
Marina is going to dominate.
No, I think Marina is going to dominate the popularity contest, but Team Pearl players are better. So we're just going to
We shall see. Ugh. So just so I can, you know, get rid of Tyler's, you know, topics. ARMS. Version 5.0 is going to launch before the end of the year.
Live right now.
It's live right now?
Live right now.
Oh, okay. I apologize. It is live right now. And we have officially gotten the reveal of the new character. Tyler, take it away.
Dr. Quill. So Dr. Quill is real cool. She like has a jetpack. She's like kind of flying up in the air. I haven't gotten to use her yet, but she has an ability to disappear. Warp, it looks like, while she's fighting, which is really cool. She also has a headlocks type thing where
yes,
she can sprout an extra two arms, which is could be overpowered. Her stage is pretty cool. She seems like she's being painted as like the bad guy kind of like
the boss
the cast.
Character, basically. She's
yeah,
the boss character.
Yeah. Because Max Brass, like, even though he was actually the main boss, it never seemed like a really bad guy. He's always kind of seemed like the funny, goofy guy.
He's a champion. That's
Dr.
Coil. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Dr. Coil, however, seems pretty menacing. I actually think her design is really, really cool. She's, like, real green with, like, purple face paint.
With high heels. With
yes,
high heels.
Yeah. So they also had a couple of other patch notes. So they changed Lola Pop a little bit. Her charge moves are faster. Some arms have been changed around. So you can find the patch notes on the Arms Reddit. They're all there. It's definitely a good update, though, and I want to check out this character. She seems pretty fun.
It just seems so very strange because, like, when I was seeing the trailer for Dr. Coil, like especially with her old arms being very reminiscent of the headlock, I can only imagine, like, again, like this whole evil professor character type. Like, is she the one who created headlock in the first place?
Maybe.
Or,
yeah.
Like, and of course, like, we're going to her whole stage again. She's an evil professor. She's levitating, a levitating boss character, which I don't know. Like, that seems to be the running gag with boss characters recently. Like, a levitating boss character, like, just laughs maniacally with green hair. I don't know. It seems to be like the trend on games. Like, I mean, heck, you have Overwatch with Sombra and Moira. Now we have her in Dr. Coil in Arms. Like, is the video game trends going this way right now? I don't know. It's like,
well,
interesting.
I have to say, I love the patch notes for Arms. Whenever they release an update, instead of saying like Lola Pop's her charges last longer now, it goes, the holidays are a busy time for street performers, so her charges, like, she's fired up, so her charges last longer. So they have, like, little mini stories to why the characters get buffed or nerfed.
I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
So to definitely go check that out. And Arms is definitely another game that's going to be interesting to watch as the, you know, the New Year comes and goes. So I don't know, like, how many characters do you think they'll end up with by the end of next year?
Yes, that's good. That's a good question. Like,
people forget that Arms sold a million copies. Like,
over a million copies. It's sold a lot.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised if it kept getting characters well through next year. I mean, that was the original plan. Yeah. I feel like maybe like E3, they'll announce like the final character.
That
Little Mac
kind of makes sense.
Right.
It'll be a character like Little Mac or Lanky Kong or like some sort of out of like or classic Nintendo character that people like freak out about and get really excited.
I will freak out if it's Little Mac because we talked about this on a previous podcast about how we could get Little Mac to work, and I'm excited that they could potentially do that. So
yeah,
we'll have to see. For all of you playing Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, you've been experiencing quite a few updates recently, and more classic Animal Crossing characters are coming for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, Nintendo's tribute to trying to, you know, make sure that their mobile games are full of content, even though it's now only been out a month, give or take. So, you know, props to that. And if you're enjoying Animal Crossing, please let us know. And send us pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Show us, there you go. There's our challenge for this week. Probably make a challenge every week. I like that. Let's do that. Well, hey, that's how the polls came about. We were just like, let's do
a
poll.
Let's
write that down. So there's our challenge for the week. Send us some pictures of your campsite, and we will judge it with utmost scrutiny. I mean, with tender gloves and caring. it's like, Fred, boys, you want to go over here and see what's happening? If anyone got that reference, thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, I let you down. I didn't get that one.
It's an Aladdin reference.
Aladdin's a terrible movie. Lion King is vastly superior.
And that's the last time we heard about Tyler.
Why would we ever watch Aladdin when Lion King
Robin
is right
Williams.
There?
That's why you watch it. You watch it for Robin Williams.
But Lion King's right there. It's got Simba in it. People
forget. Who would win, Robin Williams or James Earl Jones? I wonder.
Both. Both.
Team Simba.
That's the right answer. Both. So,
hey, why can't that be the next Splatfest? Lion King versus Aladdin.
Yeah,
I'd support that.
Another collaboration.
That.
Yes.
I don't know if they will, but you know that'd be hilarious. All right, moving on for sanity's sake. this is an interesting one. So one of the, by far one of the biggest surprises of the year was Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle, which is a game I loved.
I forget.
Yeah, it's like we all played it, right?
Yes.
I just want to make sure it's hard to keep track sometimes. So we all loved it. We all played it. But apparently this wasn't the first time that the director of the game pitched something to Nintendo, because during the GBA era, which is also the GameCube era, he pitched a Wind Waker GBA title. So now, if you recall, on the GBA there was Minish Cap, which is widely praised as one of the best Zelda games around, especially in the handheld versions. But he there was actually art shown of this, and he pitched it as, you know, a full on 2D Wind Waker game. And for whatever reason, it just never got traction, which is ironic because the next handheld games when the DS came out were Spirit Tracks and Phantom Hourglass, but not in that order. What does come for PQR? Yeah. Anyway. I just realized the Phantom Hourglass is ahead of, never mind. But it's fascinating because this is yet another like Nintendo title that you hear about like long after it was considered. And you have to wonder what would have happened if it came out like that. You know, would that have affected Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks? Would it have led to something else getting made?
Yeah, Phantom Hourglass was the true sequel to Wind Waker, so...
Yes. Mm-hmm, and then Spirit Tracks was just a Wind Waker-style offshoot.
Yeah.
Totally different Hyrule, but yes, Spirit Track, darn it, Phantom Hourglass was a pure sequel to Wind Waker, complete with Tetra. So, yeah. I love history, and, like, this is the stuff that gets me interested. Like, oh, man, that almost got made? Like Star Fox 2, you know?
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. Like, what would have happened if it actually did release?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I mean, I don't think it's a terrible idea either. It could have definitely.
Oh no, it could have done well.
Yeah.
So, but just maybe after Minish Cap, they just like, man, it just never got the green light, or they wanted to go a different direction, move into more 3D. Maybe they knew the DS was coming. I don't know, but I like hearing like these kinds of projects because you're like, what if? So. Mm-hmm. So for projects that never got made to projects that are continually advancing, Pokemon Go. Yes, the game that Tyler hates.
got bored of very quickly.
Term. I had a terrible phone. I probably could play and enjoy Pokemon Go right now with my new phone, but my original like smartphone, quote-unquote, I do the quotations in the air, even though no one could see it. I couldn't play it. Like, it kept freezing. You know, Pokemon never showed up, you know, that kind of thing. But for those who are still enjoying it, the iOS version of the game is about to get an interesting new feature, AR+. And basically, this will give you new ways to actually view the Pokemon. You can actually approach the Pokemon like you would in an actual Pokemon game via the tall grass. And you could slowly move around the Pokemon to get better pictures and whatnot.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a tribute to how advanced the technology is getting and how much Niantic is trying to make this game even better. So, I appreciate that.
It's always an interesting concept going to augmented reality technology, like especially like since we're still kind of like in the frontier, discovering the possibilities of VR, like actually going in through having some depths in basically fantasy / reality. It's just always an interesting concept. And plus, I mean, heck, we have like Yu-Gi-Oh! Duels being in holograms, so why not possibly of the Pokemon realm as well? So I don't know. It's always an interesting thing to think about, to say the least.
I mean, Pokemon Go was, I mean, even though we had AR via like the 3DS like at launch, you know, that was one of its big things. So it was like, oh, we have the cards and you can bring them to life. I think Pokemon Go was really the gateway in many ways. Because it's like, this is something simple, you know, it's right in your world, you literally could turn the filter off so you can see the Pokemon, you know, in your lap, in your hand, what have you. And now that it's just advancing through that, I fully endorse any AR advancement that happens, you know, through this game, because it's just cool. It's one of those things that it's so simple and elegant in its inception, yeah, it's so difficult to do because of how technology is. But so when it works, you appreciate it.
Mm-hmm,
or you should appreciate it. I'm sure there's a couple of haters out there. I worked on AR when I was in college. Like, this was like the early days of AR, and it was nowhere close to this. But so whenever I see like a cool advancement like this, I'm like, man, if I could have only worked on something like this when I was in college. Oh, well. Mm. Yeah, so I'm going to wallow in sorrow while we're talking about something else. Fire Emblem Heroes. The Tyler actually brought this to my attention. Fire Emblem Heroes has hit number 3 on the App Store because of the launch of the Christmas units. Gee, I wonder why.
I wonder how much of that is due to Thorgy.
Hey, you can't deny. You can't deny it. It works.
You know, these holiday banners, though, always work, apparently, and I didn't know this. When I saw this story, I was surprised that the Halloween banner, which had Naoi... Who was the other girl?
Jacob.
Naoi,
it had Henry and Jacob, but I can't remember.
Jacob Sakura. Sakura.
Yeah,
yes,
Sakura.
That's right. Sakura. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That brought it up to number 4. So really, it's just these holiday banners in general people love.
Which is nothing wrong with that. I mean, if they can make it work, you know, why not? I kind of wonder now what the Brave Heroes one did. Because we were talking about that earlier. You know, I would be very surprised if that didn't make like number 2 or something. I don't know. You know,
yeah, right.
Maybe we can look that up. Other interesting news, and we're kind of divided on this one. Nintendo has revealed that the Super Mario Odyssey soundtrack in full is coming to iTunes. Now, this sounds familiar.
Define in full.
I'm getting there. So if you recall, the hit song from Super Mario Odyssey was Jump Up Superstar, and they released that on iTunes by itself, and it made it up to various high points depending on the region and whatnot. But now they're including the music of the game itself outside of Jump Up Superstar, but they're also including, like, what did you guys say, like 5 or 6 versions of Jump Up Superstar?
There's like... Yeah, I think it's 12 songs, but there's like 3 versions of Jump Up Superstar and 2 versions of the song that plays when you're fighting Bowser at the end.
Huh. That does seem limited.
Yeah, it's weird. Let me get the full track list.
Yeah, let's
I was trying to find
track.
That Fire Emblem Heroes news.
Now I'm a big fan of Jump Up Superstar, and so anytime, you know, I can hear that, I support it. But I also agree that it does seem a bit odd that, you know, half of a soundtrack would be filled up with one song.
It's really weird.
So,
I mean, granted, like, if Nintendo wanted to, like, release an entire original soundtrack and includes all games, including, like, background music or, like, sound effects of that sort, like, if they want to release a full soundtrack, I think they probably, like, charge it, like, at least, like, to the point of, like, well, I mean, how much is, like, general original soundtracks? Like, probably $40 at most. So, I don't know. Maybe they're going to try to go with that route. I don't know.
Here's track 1 is Fossil Falls, number 2 Tosterian Ruins, number 3 Steam Gardens, number 4 New Donk City, number 5 Jump Up Superstar. That's the main version. Well, we were talking about it before the show.
That's the festival version.
Yeah, that's the traditional. Shaveria Town, Bowser's Castle, Break Free, which is the credits or the Bowser fight. Jump Up Superstar Japanese version, Break Free Japanese version, Jump Up Superstar Instrumental Karaoke, Jump Up Superstar Japanese Instrumental Karaoke, short version.
Okay.
It's literally 4 of the 12 songs, and then the other 2 that are Break Free. Where's Blaine's song? The Seaside Kingdom has, like, the best, and the Lake Kingdom. Those are my favorite 2 songs in the whole game.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, how weird is that?
Okay, hold on. Let's see. Okay, hold on. There's a twist in this tale. Okay, apparently the 12 songs that Tyler just announced were part of a special sound selection, which will be available tomorrow on iTunes.
Right.
But then a full soundtrack is coming on February 28th.
Okay. Well, that's better.
Let's see.
Better. It's still weird that they
released. Okay, but just in case there's any doubt, apparently this full-on track list will feature 136 songs.
Okay, good.
Yep,
so pretty sure that's every single version. It says here there is, like, the English and Japanese version of Jump Up Superstar and Break Free and all that. But, you know, I'm sure that, you know, 100+ of those songs are not Jump Up
yeah,
Superstar.
Yeah.
It must have, like, every jingle in the game at that point.
Yes.
I would also like to further assert that the soundtrack, which is now being released multiple times on iTunes, needs to be nominated for a Grammy. And with Jump Up Superstar winning the Grammy for Best Song, I would be very mad if it does not get nominated. I'm just saying.
It's got to be close at this point.
It's got to be close. Because, I mean, who's really released a song? I mean, Adele, please. She's Pauline.
Adele hasn't released since 25, right? That was
exactly.
2 years ago, 3 years
now,
ago, 2
Bruno
years ago.
Bruno Mars is great, but I'm pretty sure Odyssey's got him beat in instrumentals and such. So I just don't see it. I just don't see it. Moving on. Speaking of Mario, Sales of Mario Odyssey in Japan have been doing very well. It's crossed 1 million on its own. I don't know what the lifetime sales are as of yet, but it's obviously still climbing. And then the Japanese Switch sales have, what'd you say, Will, crossed 3 million? Something
yes,
like that?
3 million, yes.
So that's impressive. So 3/10 of all Switch sales are from Japan, which leaves the UK, the US, and the rest of the world with 7/10, give or take. So I say it's a nice, pretty even divide.
It's staggering how great it is. I mean, population comparatively. Like,
yes.
You knew that it was going to be big in Japan, like, just from when they announced it, and just a basic preliminary internet search of, okay, where did this idea come from? Like, handheld gaming is huge in Japan.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's almost a third of the total sales. That's mind-blowing that it's that big in Japan. I mean, it's still big everywhere else, but in Japan, it's, like, the biggest. Like,
yeah,
wild.
It's been well stated that over the last 2 years, console sales in Japan have gone down because they're embracing the more mobile nature of the gaming world, which is just how Japan is because they're literally at the forefront of this kind of thing, so which is not a bad thing. It's just the way it evolved. So for them to, you know, kind of revert, if you will, to the Switch, which is a mobile console in every sense of the word, you know, that shows how good of a product that it is, you know. So, it, and they always say, like, how do you tell the success? Well, sales is one thing, but you can also tell by, you know, where it gets bought. So,
right.
Which is something the Xbox has often struggled with, because it sells, but it doesn't sell in Japan.
Right.
So, which is not an insult. Just the way it is. Ha ha, Xbox. Hey, Xbox, how's the Xbox One X doing? Oh! So, but I'm, again, happy for Nintendo. They're already fast on their way to 11 million sold, for sure. If they're not already there, I wouldn't be surprised. I saw something interesting today. Amazon sent out a notice or something that if you this is at the time of this recording. If you bought the Switch on Amazon today, you'd still get it by Christmas.
Yes, which, I don't know. Isn't Amazon and Nintendo kind of have a bit of a love-hate relationship with each other? I don't know.
They seem to like it.
Well, I'm pretty sure Amazon loves Nintendo now because most of its best products of the year through the website have been Nintendo products. Yeah, including Mario Odyssey, Breath of the Wild, Splatoon 2, and the Nintendo Switch itself. So, I think Amazon is like, Nintendo, just bring me all your stuff. Bring me all your stuff. Alright, so here's something I definitely want to talk about. Soul Calibur 6. So, before a few weeks, 2 weeks today, actually, ironically enough, was the Game Awards. And at the Game Awards was the reveal of Soul Calibur 6 coming. Now, a rumor happened right before that saying that it was coming, and it was going to come to the Xbox, the PS4, the PC, and the Switch. Well, only three of those things happened. And fans were not happy because they're like, why isn't, you know, Soul Calibur coming to the Switch? And now the producer of the game has stepped forward and revealed that it has nothing to do with the Switch itself. It's about the timing. Because apparently, and I find this very fascinating, they started working on this game 3 years ago. So think about that. Okay, so we only heard about the Switch a year ago, technically. So add 2 years to that, give or take, and that's when they started working on it. So this was in like the height of the Wii U. I can't say height. There is no height for the Wii U. Okay, there is no height. The time of the Wii U. There we go. The time of the Wii U. So you know they was never coming to that. And so by the time the Switch came out, they were way into development. It's very likely coming out in 2018. So I don't mind personally that it's not come to Switch. Yet. And I say yet because the producer also said he has a very big interest in the Switch. And I think he even said, like, you know, if he feels there's support for it, it could get made because the game is made with the Unreal Engine, which is what the Switch uses.
Right. Yeah, that would be awesome.
So go ahead.
Well, like, because I was more or less researching regarding to, like, again, the possibilities of Soul Calibur 6. I mean, I haven't played Soul Calibur, like, in a long while, since, like, the demo of Soul Calibur 2 back on the GameCube.
3 for me.
I can only imagine, like, again, like, there's definitely a possibility, like, what I've seen from the trailer. I mean, again, it's obviously very smooth compared, like, on PC specs and all that, just for demo purposes. But, like, how it plays with, again, Sofita, a young Tsurugi, and I don't know. Like, Maximilian Dude also is also a big fan of Soul Calibur, and he introduced it again. Like, what happens if, like, where we also have that whole console exclusive characters again, like what they did with Spawn, Heihachi, and Link, Link was pretty much obviously the most popular one out of the Soul Calibur trio,
obviously,
of the multi consoles. So,
sorry,
I don't know,
fans.
Like, there's a lot of things, a lot of like possibilities as well. I mean, heck, we're having so many crossover characters in many fighting games now, so I don't know, it seems to be a high possibility.
If Talim is in it, I have to get it. Like, I'll buy a PS4 or an Xbox just to play as Talim again, because Talim is my favorite character.
Nightmare.
No,
I was a bad guy.
Size away. Talim is one with the wind. She was my favorite character. I loved her. She was my first ever fighting game character that I was the best at out of all of my friends. It was 100% her and 0% me. I was I'm a Talim diehard.
I was Nightmare. Which says a lot about me. I did play Siegfried, but that was a later time. But I was Nightmare. I drowned people in their blood, and I loved every minute of it. I happily reassembled all of Soul Edge and then defeated Inferno so I could rule the world as the epic Nightmare that I am. I it's funny, you know, looking back, I got the PS2 version of Soul Calibur 2.
Oh, okay.
By I mean my mother. I had a GameCube, clearly, but she, for whatever reason, got me the PS2 version. So I got the Heihachi character instead of Link, which, you know, looking back, you know, I probably should have been more specific, but whatever. So I would love the chance to get a Nintendo exclusive character, though I will say they should not do Link. I say they should do a Fire Emblem character.
Oh, yeah, Marth for sure. That would be so hype.
I'm sorry, Ike? Sorry.
No, it definitely has to be more. Like, you need like a. You know, there's plenty of powerful sword fighters in there, and there's some graceful ones too. But Marth, you can do so much more with Marth's graceful moveset.
No.
Let's be honest.
No.
Also, I'm aware that her name's probably Talim, not Talim, but I always say Talim because I said.
It's okay. Well, you all say Mario instead of Mario. So. Although I found out, I don't know if you remember this, but I remember now. You are not alone in saying that.
Right.
Conan O'Brien said it.
Yeah, he's right. Yeah,
no, you know, he's not right.
He is wrong.
No, well, if you're from like, you know, if you're from the Northeast, you're gonna say where there's a lot of Italian people, by the way. you're gonna say it right. You know, you hear other Italian people say it, and then you pick it up, and you know that's how it goes.
No, it's not how it goes, but whatever. Yeah. I also loved his description of the Game Awards of Persona 5. That was hilarious. Conan, what would we do without you? Just live, more than likely. but hopefully, Soul Calibur 6 does come. Okay, for the record, Bandai Namco now has two fighting games they need to bring to Switch: Dragon Ball FighterZ and Soul Calibur 6. And they said that they're bringing three major games to the Switch next year. So if it's not those two, I'm gonna be disappointed. So I'm just saying. All right, and to wrap up, and this is actually one of our main topics today. Breath of the Wild had two major pieces of news spoken about it. First off, Eiji Aonuma himself confirmed to Famitsu that there will be no more DLC for Breath of the Wild.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
The game is officially done. Champions Ballad and the Master Trials are all we got, which is, if you think about it, that's still a lot considering Zelda's never had DLC before.
It's a good value. Even if you bought the season pass, it's a very, very good value.
Yeah. And as a person on Facebook commented to one of my articles, he goes, you know, that's sad, but there's still so much to do. So, like, yeah! That's
yes.
What the beauty of Breath of the Wild. It didn't need the DLC, but we got it anyway. So be grateful. But the bigger news is that we have official confirmation from Nintendo that the next Zelda game is in production. Yeah!
Yeah, it's... Wow, already jumping to the next project already. It's like...
Well, I mean, again, remember, it's already in context. Because
right,
you know,
right.
They could have started it on March 4th. When Zelda was released.
Well, a lot of the times the second game before the next game before the first one even releases. Like, it might have been in development alongside Breath of the Wild at points.
Yeah, but they didn't do that more than likely because of the DLC. So, but now the DLC is all out and certain updates have been released to, you know, make the game more stable and whatnot, they're working on it. And even though I know we talked about this before, I definitely want to talk about it again. What are our expectations for now, we'll call it Breath of the Wild 2? Because there is no doubt, it's already been confirmed that all Zelda games from now on are going to be open air, as they call it, you know, this massive open world, which is fine. But as I noted in a previous podcast, that also raises a problem because every Zelda game from now on is going to be compared to Breath of the Wild. And I know that we've said that for other Zelda games, you know, Twilight Princess, Skyward Sword.
But they all get compared to Ocarina of Time.
And they all get compared to Ocarina of Time. But even that, you know, Breath of the Wild is a whole other beast entirely. The open world, the freedom to choose dungeons that you will, which started in A Link Between Worlds, but this was escalated to a new level. So in a way, that actually inspired Breath of the Wild. So hey, go Link Between Worlds. You know, everything is going to be compared to this, which is why I said in a previous podcast they need to go to a land that's not named Hyrule.
Right, right.
I don't care if it's Termina, which I'd love to go to again. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, another side story where it's, you know, Hyrule's destroyed and they have to go somewhere else. Ooh, that'd be a great story. Hire me, Nintendo. They have to do something different, because if they try and do Hyrule again after what they just did with Breath of the Wild, I think it either will fail or it'll be redundant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know what I really want is more meaningful side quests. Like today, I went ahead and, just thinking about my brief experience with Breath of the Wild today, there's already an example of, I went to go fish out the treasure for the old man in that village. And like, you get a nice sword and you get some opal. And like, when you go back to him, he's like, wow, you found it. Good job. And then like, he goes by, and then like, there's nothing. Like, I'd like to get some side quests where you get pieces of heart. I need pieces of heart to come back, first of all. I need pieces of heart to come back, because those are great, and they're like a really good reward for going out of your way to do a side quest or for exploring. But yeah, I really want side quests that when you do them, you get a prize that you feel, okay, this is definitely worth it. Like, I like getting that electric sword, but I know, like, having played Breath of the Wild for like 40 hours before going back to it, you find those pretty common, and they're not that strong. Like, there's plenty of weapons that are way better. And I was out there like fishing for like, you know, 20 minutes trying to find the stupid spot, and you really don't get anything great for it. And it's a lot of the quests in Breath of the Wild are like that. So it definitely, side quests that actually feel rewarding to complete for doing them, rather than side quests that are fun because you get to explore the world, which is great, but you're already exploring the world, if you get what I'm saying.
My suggestion in regards to like possibly what they're doing for the next Zelda game is, like, I think that one of the more clear examples who has done open world games pretty darn well is CD Projekt Red, Witcher 3, because like, if anyone has played the Witcher games, those games are like, they're massive in scope as well. Like, but what I also like to like see what they include in Breath of the Wild, what they have done in The Witcher, is basically like along those lines of like meaningful quests, like actually does affect the world around you. Like, what I mean is, like, yeah, like once you do like a certain quest or certain like decisions, like, I don't know, maybe a whole Mass Effect kind of thing, but basically like the decisions that you actually do make actually do affect the world around you. Like, for example, you help this guy in the right now, it will affect it in the future, like something along those lines. Like, the decisions you make actually do indeed matter, not just simply like, oh, okay, you finish up this quest, it gives you an oboe or any other sword, but like actually influences the environment. Like something similar to like that one side quest, we're going to like, you make your own little town kind of that sort, but expand upon that a little bit more. Like The Witcher 3 has like, they made like basically this, like, again, any decision that you made from, like, saving a civilization, saving races, it also reflects onto your game. And then, naturally, like, the endings of The Witcher 3, it depends on like, your choices. So for, like, the next Zelda game, like, I would like to see them, like in the quests themselves, like, maybe, I don't know, perhaps branching paths, perhaps, like, something that actually does, like, reflect upon, like, personal choices to actually, like, reflect that of your Link character, of how he takes on his journey.
Yes.
I don't know, that because I know I respect Witcher 3's game because it's just a great game in its own right, so, and I feel like those two games can definitely learn from each other from, like, what they can offer.
Yeah, it definitely has to be something special. I mean, and I know we say that for every Zelda game, and for the most part, you know, Nintendo does come through, as Breath of the Wild proved, but I like those ideas, like, you know, shaping the world even more. I would like to have even more talking characters, you know, because we have the champions here. The champions are great. So, I want to see more of that in the sequel. I want to play as Zelda.
I don't care how. I don't care why.
I want to play as Zelda. They did a great job with Zelda, bringing out her personality, make her seem like more than just a helpless princess, you know. And I don't know how or what context, but I want to play as Zelda. Okay. And then there's a certain other character that I want to talk about, but I can't talk about because neither of you have beaten Breath of the Wild.
I think we'll make that our New Year's resolution, yes.
Oh, I'll believe that when I see it.
I'm going to do it, Todd. I'm going to beat it. I'm pretty into it right now. I'm going to get to the end one way or another. I haven't played. We'll talk about all this good stuff next week, too, in our year in review, but I haven't beaten Kingdom Battle. I'm really far in Kingdom Battle. I haven't beaten that. I haven't beaten Odyssey. I haven't beaten Breath of the Wild. And
what are you doing with your life?
Life, work, unfortunately, reality, and all that.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, I've played those games a good bit, but when we talk about our games of the year, I'm going to probably have some surprising answers because I've really gravitated more towards the shorter games that I can beat in five or six hours.
Yes.
Oh, I understand that. I really do. I mean, like, that was actually one of the problems I had with Xenoblade, like, in a good way, was that the game just wouldn't end. I'm just like, I thought one of the chapters is called The World Tree, and I mentioned this last podcast, and I was like, oh, this is the end. And then there was the next chapter, and it had this really odd title. I'm like, okay, it can't end there. And then the next chapter came, and it said, you know, finale, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, thank you. Thank you for telling me this, because I'm just like, after all this, I'm like, how much more can I take?
Yeah.
The story's too much. So, but yeah, I understand. And there's nothing wrong with shorter games. I love those too, but I have been pleasantly happy with all the longer titles, you know, the Marios, the Zeldas, Mario and Rabbids. That was 40 hours, give or take. And then, of course, Xenoblade. So, yeah, I understand that, Tyler. And trust me, if it wasn't for my dedication, as I proved with Pokemon, which I never got around to reviewing because I just was so busy with other games, I understand the joy of having simpler titles. Sorry.
Yeah.
So, as we noted, and as the date of this podcast release obviously proves, the holidays are here, and the major one of the major ones, I gotta be right there. One of the major ones, Christmas is almost upon us, and as is now going to be our yearly tradition, we're going to look back on some of our past Christmases and reveal some of our greatest Nintendo memories. So please join us as we celebrate Christmas with Nintendo. And I'll go first this time. One of my fondest memories, and honestly one that kind of changed my life forever, was, I don't remember the year, I think it was 94, I think. I might have to look this up, but I'll go with it right now. But I went to my stocking. We have presents, we have stockings, and Mom has always been good about putting something good in my stocking. Mm-hmm. And so I go in there, and I pull out a gift, and it's a nice small box. Oh, it was 1996. And I go in there, and I pull out a small box, and I unwrap it, and looking at me is Blastoise.
Oh!
'Cause Mom got me Pokemon Blue. Now, as I reflect upon the many, many, many years of my life, all 28 of them, I'm so old. And then my cousin Amy will go, yep, you're old. Like, she just, she's deadpans, and she goes, yeah, you're old. I'm like, thanks, Amy. Gosh. So she did that to me. She's like, how old are you? I'm like, 28. She goes, dang, you're old.
You know, I'm 23, and I'm like, geez, I'm getting up there. Like, I'm about to die.
So anyway, but as I look back in my life, it was my mother, not me, who helped pick the games that would define my life. It was her, not me, who got me a Game Boy, or told me to get it. Said I should have a Game Boy. It was her, not me, who told me that Zelda was a good game. It was her, not me, that bought me the Pokemon games, even though at first I hated the Pokemon series. Long story. So, you know, when I got Pokemon Blue, it was great, and I played, and I still love the game. It's still the game that I've gotten the most Pokemon in, not including the Link Cable trading. I had 122 of the 150 Pokemon. So, I will always remember that because it was the true start. It was in many ways the start of my Pokemon journey, and I'm just forever grateful for that. And I've gotten many Pokemon games since then. I'm pretty sure last year I talked about my Pokemon Stadium.
Yeah.
Which is another great Pokemon Christmas memory with Nintendo. Nintendo has always been a big part of my Christmas in one way or another. They always have a game coming out or a system that I need to get. And, you know, I was great. Although I will admit I did not get the Wii until after Christmas. The year came out in 2006, right? I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because the Wii was 11, I think. Anyway, but so, yeah. But even then, like, I had, you know, the DS or whatnot to keep me entertained. So Nintendo's always been a big part of my Christmas, but that one with Pokemon Blue was, it's always going to be stuck in my mind.
Oh man, like I'm immediately reminded back when, again, when the days of KB Toys were still around during that time. And
oh, KB Toys.
Because I remember, like, during that time period, I was like in Bay Ridge, like me and my brother was trying to get like Pokemon games, and KB Toys was selling those games, and like those games like gosh darn expensive, like almost like to the point of like 60, 70 bucks during that time, price range. And my brother got red, I got blue, and like since then, like I've been more or less like on the focus on the blue path while we focus on the red path. I just remember, like, he gets like different Pokemon, I get like Meowth in that one zone when you first discover Meowth, and I don't really particularly remember too many specific memories, but I just remember, like, again, going through my blue path, having Meowth using Payday, and like,
Meowth
I still remember
the best.
And Gus, like, I don't even remember that I actually had the link cable when I trade out the Pokemon. Like, I did, yeah, no way, I think I did do so to trade Pokemon with my brother to get, like, those exclusive Pokemon that's only separate in those specific versions. And, like, yeah, those times when, again, like, you had to have the link cable, there was no internet, you can't go Wi-Fi, like, you had to do it solely, like, right next to you. And oh god, I actually got a bad memory, because I remember, like, actually having Pokemon Blue, and I have a Mewtwo, and my one in my kindergarten classes wanted me to trade me an Articuno for a Mewtwo. And I went to the trade unknowingly, and unfortunately that RQ did not listen to me. I think it's because maybe I wasn't high level enough, or I couldn't command enough respect, but basically that's Articuno refuses to listen to me whatsoever. So I pretty much got gypped. And then after that, like, I just didn't play Pokemon ever since then. But there's really wasn't a Christmas memory, but that Pokemon memory, like, just basically my time with Pokemon, the way you explain it is like, I think this is probably the only reason I'm just going to stay with the anime and nothing more of it, except for probably, hey, you Pikachu or Pokemon Stadium.
That would definitely turn you. I think a lot of people have Pokemon memories growing up, and I wish that I had more, because I just wasn't into it until I was older, which is, I know, unusual, but didn't really play it until Y was my first Pokemon game, so I really didn't get to enjoy all those, you know, classic holiday Pokemon unboxings, so.
I guess we're going to my Christmas memory. I mean, again, I have not the sounds of redundant, like, not go repeat performance of last year's Christmas episode. Let's see, going to other Christmas memories of the times. Man, I'm trying to go through the library of my 27 years of living right now. let's see. Okay, I explained about my story of how I got my Wii with my mother at Toys R Us in Times Square, which is, that thing was always be a great memory, to say the least. I guess regard to, like, maybe in the earliest, I think they're during the GameCube era, I think, of that sort. I can also probably say about the GameCube era is, like, when I first got, yeah, I think, when was the GameCube first came out?
Oh, man. 2001.
Yeah, 2001, and, like, in what month? That's what.
Yeah, probably November.
Around the winter season, I think, something of that sort. Yeah, somewhere around that time. I don't know, that just may be my false memory. But, like, I remember, like, trying, like, also in that same area, trying to get myself a GameCube, but they only were selling GameCubes in bundles. It's like a $500 bundle, including, like, three games with Smash Bros. Melee, with a memory card, and two more games, which, I don't know, it was kind of a bad deal when I think about it. But, Oh, well, it's a GameCube. It was like the, I don't know, it was also pretty much of a hot item during the time, during that winter season. So my mother paid for it. Just thank you, mom, for paying like $500 for it. And over from that, like playing the GameCube, I mean, again, Smash Bros. Melee was the go-to title to get with the GameCube. And I just played it alongside with my brother kicked my butt so many times over. But just also like, again, unlocking all these different characters. I never thought, like, again, you had the staple character, you have Luigi, you have Jigglypuff, but then you see these, like no one expected these characters. Like, again, I got introduced with Roy, Marth, Mewtwo, and like, heck, even Ganondorf is like, wow, who would have thought? And even exploring all these different trophies they had, like, that I was just simply
Trophies were so much
fascinated.
fun.
Like exploring these, like CD stuff, including like being exposed to Todaket or KK Slider in that thing. Like, oh, it's only in Japan only, but now we got Animal Crossing like a few days, few months afterwards. It's like, I can only like imagine what how my life would be if I didn't get the GameCube like during that winter season, the holiday seasons. Like, of course, we've had like great titles again with Melee, and then of course like Super Mario Sunshine and. By God, I'm of course with Wind Waker, but by God, I will still forever remember this. I'm glad I bought it before it got completely out of print. It's Skies of Arcadia for the GameCube. Yes, it came
Yeah.
out originally for the Dreamcast, but when I just walk around 8th Avenue, I still have 8th Avenue in Brooklyn. I have a game store. It's like, oh, they had all these lineup games, and I was like, I still had seeing an issue in Nintendo Power. Like, oh, what's this game called Skies of Arcadia? Okay, the port of the Dreamcast. We had to do some localization because of the whole local berries is not, they can't put in alcohol references in there, but still there is alcohol reference in there. But and then when I picked up Skies of Arcadia, I was like, oh, Skyship Battle. Okay, Discoveries. No, that's Sky Pirates. I'm like, okay. I never looked back, not to say the least. And like, again, please, Sega, bring back Skies of Arcadia. I beg of you. But overall, like, just getting the GameCube during that winter season is just like one thing that just kind of also helped me cemented my love for Nintendo. Like, because the GameCube library had some great titles, and if not,
Oh, yeah.
probably some of the most underrated titles ever. Like, heck, Pikmin was like an unusual title, yet it did so well. So all I just say is like, again, GameCube was definitely one of the more great systems that when it first came out, it's just something you just gotta have, which I will always cherish that memory.
Yeah, my GameCube memory runs parallel to yours. When I think I might have told that story last year, the Melee with my older brother, and you unbox Luigi's Mansion and Super Smash Melee. I always remember playing on Fountain of Dreams. I was Fox, my brother was Donkey Kong, and he crushed me, of course. But I always remember that because it was so exciting. For me, I think I'll go to my freshman year of college. This was like a life-changing moment for me too. It was, of course, Christmas, and I lived in New Jersey. I went to school in North Carolina, so it was like a big life change. And I just didn't know who I wanted to be. I was completely lost. And just, I mean, as most people are when they're, in college and a freshman.
Agreed.
So I was just trying to do my best. But I had always loved gaming, so I spent plenty of time like listening to video game soundtracks online. And I saw the soundtrack for Earthbound, the not main theme, but kind of the main theme called Pollyanna. And I listened to the song, and it's like really cheesy, but also really catchy. And I loved it. I was like, oh, this is so great. This is like, it was such a weird sound, but it was awesome. I totally loved it. I was like, let me check out, let me check out Earthbound. So I went on to eBay and was like, oh gosh, game costs $250. I'm not gonna be able to get it. So I put together my Christmas list that year. I had a whole ton of Super Nintendo games. I had Link to the Past. I had Earthbound. I had Star Fox and Mario RPG. Those are the big four things that I wanted that year. And come Christmas, I really wasn't expecting to get Earthbound because it was so expensive. And I told my parents, like, if you can't get it at under $200, just don't worry about it. So I'm opening up my gifts, one by one, and I get the other three games, and I didn't get Earthbound. And I was like, oh darn, not a big deal. Like I got all these other great things. But then I went to my stocking, and Earthbound was there waiting for me. And I went downstairs right away, popped it into my old Super Nintendo, probably the first time that thing had gotten played in 5 years, and turned it on, And instantly, I was just absorbed into this game. It just had so much heart. It was so goofy and off the wall, but just the fact that it was made in 1994, or 1995, I think 1994, and yet its humor and social relevance is still, like, extremely true today. Like, it was clearly a product of its time, like, with some of the references that are in there. And yet it just perfectly captured suburban America. So it's a game that, like, looks back at, or it takes a lot of classic RPG tropes, but applies them to the modern times instead of, like, the Final Fantasy era of the past. And seeing that, like, that story, those, you know, classic stories of heroes, and yet having that transferred into the modern time made it feel so much more relatable. And I just fell in love with Ness as the main character, even though he's silent, and the whole crew, Paula, Jeff, and Poe, they were all just so fascinating to me, and the adventure is just massive in scope, just, you know, seeing these kids travel the world, and you're kind of sightseeing with them. It was just the most amazing game I'd ever played. It still stands out as my number one favorite game of all time because of just how much it moved me. I just, after I finished that game, I was completely inspired as a person. I felt like, you know, I knew what I wanted to be, and I was going to try to go out there and do what Ness did and just bring my own little brand of sunshine into people's lives. I think somebody says that to Ness. And I kind of used that as my mantra throughout that year, and it just, it lifted me up, and it gave me a sense of direction, and I could have never had that, you know, had it not been Christmas and my parents would be willing to shell out for a ridiculously expensive game. And then, you know, that it got released that February, it got announced for the 3DS Virtual Console, so that was, or maybe it was the year after that, but not long after that, you know, maybe I could have got it for $10 instead of like $250, but definitely my all-time favorite Christmas memory, because it definitely changed my entire life.
Nothing wrong with that. And we do hope that all of you dear listeners have your own special, hopeful Nintendo Christmas memories, whether it be you getting the Switch, potentially. Mm-hmm. And if you do, thank your parents, or grandparents, or aunts, or uncles, or whoever botched the dang thing. We hope you get all the games you wanted, or given that Nintendo released like a bunch of great games, you get at least one or two. At least one or two. And then tell us which one, what one or two you got, and why it's called Zelda and Mario. Which actually doesn't help, because there was Mario Kart, Mario Rabbids, and Mario Odyssey. So,
right.
But yeah, we do hope that you have, you know, a wonderful Christmas for Nintendo, and be sure to tweet at us what you got for your Christmas. We'd love to talk to you about it. And if we get anything Nintendo related, which I think I am going to at least get one thing, I buy all my games, but I do save a few that I'm willing to let mom or dad buy for me, just because I'm willing to wait to play them. But so I think I might get one of those for Christmas, but we'll just have to see.
Funny enough, one of our colleagues here on the other even actually bought me a $20 gift card for the Nintendo eShop. So props to you, Maddie.
There you go. Wait, who gave it to you again?
My colleague, also here on the Outer Haven, also who helps me help out on the A1 podcast, Matt Sullius Tyler. So thank you, Matt. Thank you, Maddie. Thank you.
I was gonna hear. I heard it wrong, and I was gonna do a joke, but I wanted to be sure. So I'm glad you told me, because the joke would have been very sour.
I wonder.
So, but again, we wish you all happy holidays. We will be here next week to do our year in review. And then 2 weeks from tonight, we are going to be holding the second annual Nintendo Draft. And I'm proud to say that much like last year, we will be having a special guest host to join us on the draft. This year, it will be Kromcho, who is very excited to join us. So if you don't remember, the Nintendo Draft is where we outline what we think Nintendo needs to do in the new year to succeed. We totally killed it this year. It's not even funny how much we killed it this year. Like 15 out of 16 we got right. So, yeah. So, again, we're really looking forward to that. Okay, poll question. Now, if you recall, we had three questions last week. One was Ugly Christmas Sweater. Oh, quiet. Well, we have to take our lumps when we get them. One was, are Ugly Christmas Sweaters cool? The answer was no, and you voted as such. The other question was, are cowboy hats okay? The answer was no.
Of course.
Okay.
Well done. Well done, America.
Oh, okay. But I do have... Actually, thank you for reminding me of this. I was telling my parents about this situation. My father, who is a big country music fan, and my mother, who has listened to country music...
I could
the
tell
biggest fan.
This was personal for you.
Oh, yeah. She... My mom now doesn't like you. Because of your... blatant insulting.
Well,
okay,
you know,
okay.
I probably don't like I probably don't like her. You should wear a cowboy hat.
No, but that's not the point. She oh, well, doesn't my dad
no, no,
hold on my dad loves country music. My mom knows country music exists. Okay, it's like that. And so when I told my I told them about how you blatantly said, and I could quote her word for word on this, how you blatantly said that people should not wear cowboy hats in this day and age. Her exact words were, "What does he have against Texas?"
Your mother's son.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like, now, for those of you who actually do follow us on Twitter, me, Tyler, and our friend Crown Show, we're having a battle about what cowboy hats should and should not be. And Tyler decided to try and backtrack himself, because he said, "What are you talking about? I never said that they should be outlawed." I'm like, Tyler, you said on the podcast that no one should wear cowboy hats anymore. That's outlaw.
Listen,
and he's like, "That's outlaw." I was clearly joking. No, you weren't.
Listen, I was like exaggerating. Obviously, it should be illegal.
Oh, gosh.
But the point is, like, if it was illegal, nobody should be like ashamed or be sad, because, like, why would you ever wear one? Like, you
Texas.
Just you shouldn't.
I'm just hearing from you as fashion police, fashion police, fashion police.
Yeah. I can just hear Tyler right now. It's like, darling, what are you trying to say with that hat? Okay, I mean, the hat, the booze, I mean, what is this? Come on.
It's funny because I go around wearing sweatshirt and sweatpants all day.
Going back on track before we go off on another why cowboy hats should exist, The other poll, which was my first poll, which was what should be the next Nintendo franchise to get a mobile game. The winner was Pikmin, which I actually found kind of surprising. But, you know, all of them got votes, so that was interesting. So there is rumors, it's confirmation technically, that Pikmin 4 is coming to Switch.
Right.
And we just had Pikmin on the 3DS for the first time. So I don't think it's out of bounds for them to do Pikmin on a mobile. We'll have to see. So let's see. What should our poll question be today? Oh, let's go Breath of the Wild. Should the next Zelda game in Hyrule? Yes or no?
Oh, good call.
Make that set in Hyrule. That's a better word. Yes or no? Actually, let's make it three. Yes, no, or possibly if done right. Because we gotta be fair here, because there's, as we've seen in numerous Zelda games, there are many ways to interpret Hyrule.
Right, yeah. Right. Again, right. Like, if I remember correctly, the timeline is like Fallen Empire of it, so
yeah.
It could be.
Yeah, so, there's a lot of possibilities. So that will be our poll question, and we will reveal it next week when we do our year in review show. Looking forward to that. Be sure to let us know what you think about all the big news that's come out this week. The My Odyssey on iTunes, you know, the Animal Crossing updates, Splatoon updates, ARMS updates, no more DLC for Breath of the Wild, Heroes. Did you get Tharja? If so, rub it in Will's face.
And yes, also, I know you said this already, but of course, on behalf of the Outer Haven podcast, here, all I just want to say is, have a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Crazy Kwanzaa, a tip top set, and the most holy and silent Ramadan.
Can't say it better than that. So I won't. So, for Tilius Tyler, Warrior Will, I am Try Force Talon. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We have made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag.